Romans chapter 15, we're just going to read one verse. Verse 14, Paul says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Brother Matthew Honeyfield, would you pray and ask God to bless the message? Amen. I was reading this passage and looking through this passage, and I realized, and Paul's getting ready to say some things to the church at Rome here in Romans chapter 15 about some things they need to work on, but he begins to compliment the people here in verse 14, and he begins to tell them what a good job they're doing and some things they've gotten right as a church, and to lift them up and to exhort them. And as in this time of Thanksgiving, in this time of year, having just left from the Jubilee, thinking about the Jubilee and what went on at the Jubilee, it made me realize, it made me stop and take stock of what a value this church is in my life. It made me think about the things this church has done for me and the things that this church has provided, not only to me, but also to my family, and to help us to grow and to help us to get closer to Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for this church, and when I say this church, I don't just mean this place, I mean you people, and I mean our pastor, and I mean all of us together as a group. And I got to looking at it, and I realized that the sum of all of our parts, the whole of all of our parts, is worth more than us individually. And there are some things that we as a body do well that individually we may not do very well. But because of all of us coming together, we're able to hide some of those inconsistencies and hide some of those things in our personal lives. And so as I look at some of these things, there's three things in this passage I want to look at tonight that Paul compliments or exhorts this church at Rome that they're good at. And I want to look at those things not only in light of our church, but also in light of us as individuals. Because I think that sometimes we take stock of the group as a whole, and we fail to look at ourselves individually. And we think, well, you know, this doesn't really fit to us. But yet there's some things that do fit to you and I as an individual. And Paul says there that the church at Rome, one, they're full of goodness. Two, that they're filled with all knowledge. That doesn't mean that they know everything, but it means they're in pursuit of it, that they're going after knowledge or seeking after the right things. And then the last thing he says, they're able also to admonish one another. So the first thing I want to look at, when Paul says they're full of goodness, what does that mean, full of goodness? Well, in Romans 2:4, it says that God's goodness leads us to repentance. That's that song that Miss Clark just sang. God's goodness led each and every one of us to repent of our sins and recognize we were a sinner headed for hell, and it was God's goodness that got us out of there. And that's something that, as a Christian, as a saved person, you should never get over. You should never get over your salvation experience. If you get to a place in your Christian life where salvation, well, yeah, I got saved. It should never be, well, I got saved. It should be, thank God I am saved. It should be something in your life that matters, that it's a Bethel, that it's an Ebenezer stone in your life, that when all the world falls apart, when everything goes bad, everything is bad, there's just all this stuff and I'm trying to, but when it goes bad, when it falls apart and stuff goes crazy, you should be able to at least go back to there and go, you know what, at least I'm saved. Brother Sam mentioned this morning, there's people in the world that go through trouble and pain for no reason, and it doesn't do them any good. For you and I, it does something for us. It does something to help to remind us of God's goodness towards us. It does something to help us push ourselves to go, you know what, this is as close to hell as I'm ever going to get. What a blessing that is. That as bad as it gets in this life, as sick as we may become, as the financial difficulties swell, as the physical ailments swell, as the mental ailments swell, we're not going to get any closer to hell than what we are right now. This is as bad as it's ever going to be for us. And what a blessing that is. And I'm thankful that when we come to a church, that when we do when preacher does the testimonies, the first thing pretty much 95% of people say when they stand up is, I thank God for my salvation. We had Thanksgiving dinner this past week, and with my family, my immediate family, not just my wife, but my sisters and their families and that kind of stuff. There were 17 of us, And it was a blessing to sit around a table with some folks where everybody at that table was saved. And they all said, you know what, I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful that I know where I'm going when I die. And it's a blessing that we come to a church that puts a premium on salvation and puts a premium on being saved and being thankful for being saved. And I thank God that we haven't moved past our salvation. It's just something behind us. Now, I don't mean that your Christian life needs to stay focused on that all the time, but that's a place you should be able to get back to. It's God's goodness that got you there. I took a page out of Brother Josh's manual on preaching, on defining words. And Brother Josh taught me that years ago, to look up the definition of a word, define it, and then that way you know what it means. And I got to looking at the word goodness, that where Paul uses the word goodness, and there's three definitions there that I think apply in this passage. Turn over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. The first definition of the word goodness is the best part of anything. The best part of anything. Now, you think about that. You're getting the best part of anything. The best part of anything of Jesus Christ is salvation, right? You get all of Jesus Christ. Brother Sam made mention of Brother Stephen's work, Dr. Stephen's work this morning in the service, and the 33 things or 38 things that you get at salvation. Now, here in Exodus chapter 33, it's a familiar passage. Look there in verse number 18. Moses says to the Lord, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. So this is Moses asking God to see his glory. That's pretty cool. And God says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Turn over to Exodus 34 in verse 6. He says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, on the third and fourth generation. Moses got to see God's goodness, but Moses didn't get to partake in God's goodness. He didn't get Jesus Christ like you and I got Jesus Christ. We got the best part of something that Moses didn't get. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't as good as Moses. I can't even carry Moses' bag, much less his shoes or anything else. I'm not worthy to be even counting the same sentence as Moses, but we got something Moses didn't get. We got the best part of Jesus Christ. We got the best part of God, which is Jesus Christ. And Moses didn't get it. Moses got to see it, but he didn't get to partake in it. You got to see it and you got to partake in it. You got something that he didn't get. He says that we get redemption through his blood. Over there in Hebrews 10, he says the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. We don't have to offer bulls and goats. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mind carving up a bull. I don't mind carving up a goat. I enjoy partaking of it. But I thank God when I come here on Sunday, I don't have to sit here and make a bloody sacrifice week in and week out, every day of the week to get back in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We get to just sit in our vehicle wherever we are when you think whatever you're thinking and you know you shouldn't think it and go, Lord, forgive me for having that thought pop into my head. I don't have to come before somebody else and tell you why I'm offering this sacrifice. Amen. Thank God you don't know what's in my head and thank God I don't know what's in your head. Because what goes on between our ears is a whole lot worse than most of the stuff that we physically act out upon. You know, I mean, Jesus, you know, he says, thou shalt not murder. Jesus said, well, if you thought evil against your brother, you've murdered him already. Man, how many times have you killed somebody in your head? Maybe not. Maybe you're all good, godly, loving people, and you've never been mad at somebody, and you've never, you know, I could just kill that person. Not just, you know, in a figment of speech, you know, expression, whatever. If you've never been angry, I don't know a man that's never been angry. I've never seen a man that's just laid back all the time and can just not let his emotions get the best of him and, you know, well, bless God, it'll be okay. You know, I mean, it's okay, brother, you did me wrong. I'm really sorry. I've seen Brother Brad get upset. And if Brother Brad gets upset, then I know any man can get upset. Because he's the most laid back guy that I've ever seen, the most gracious guy that I've ever met, and I've seen him get upset about something. Guess what? It happens to the best of us. And thank God we don't have to come down here and put our hands on the head of a bull and watch a priest slaughter him so we can get our sins taken care of. We go straight to the throne room and we ask the high priest himself and go, God, I'm sorry I did so and so. Forgive me of it and let's move on. You got the best part of God's goodness. You got the best part of Him is Jesus Christ. Not only did you get the best part of Him, you also got, we also find in that, in the word goodness, it means moral excellence. Turn over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. There's something to me that's great about this church in that this church loves cleanliness. It loves innocence. It loves righteousness. It doesn't take pleasure in sin. A friend of mine sent me a text message a couple weeks ago, and he got this flyer in the mail that a church was having a movie screening in their sanctuary. And I'm thinking to myself, and I think if you live in Clay County, I think everybody got that flyer. But I'm thinking to myself, what kind of church takes pleasure in putting out a secular movie? Now, it wasn't at some Christian movie. I think they were showing Minions or some Disney movie or something, and then they were going to have a time of fellowship after it was over with. Where's the moral excellence in partaking the things the world partakes in? There's supposed to be a separation. There's supposed to be a division between us and the world. When people come into the church, they should know they're in a church. They should know they're in a clean place. There shouldn't be... I've been to several churches that you walk in, and especially since we've been looking at churches and trying to figure out what we're going to do with the new building, you go into a church and they have a black ceiling in the church. Now, I've been in restaurants, and a black ceiling restaurant, I get. I don't want to see all the dust up there. I don't want to see all the stuff up there that's above my food that's falling into my food. That's okay. But in a church house, why do you want a black ceiling? What are you trying to hide? Let's shed the light on it and see what's going on. The church should be a clean place. You shouldn't have to dim the lights in order to stir up the emotions to get the spirit aroused. Now, they're arousing some spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit they're arousing. And I thank God we come to a place where the Holy Spirit is aroused in each and every one of us through good, godly, clean singing. That you don't have to stomp your foot and get a beat going and shake your hips or whatever else to be in the moment and have the feeling that something's going on. Too many churches today base themselves off feelings, and I thank God we come to a church where we're not based on feelings. I thank God we come to a church that's about doing things the right way, about doing things decent and in order, and about taking care and making sure to take care of the little things. Miss Peacock, her eye for detail is second to none. I mean, I can't tell you how many times she's called me, like, and I think she's finally assigned somebody else because I was horrible at it. But these candelabras that are up here on the wall, she's like, Woodard, can you keep those things straight for me? And she would, hey, Woodard, that candelabra's not straight. And believe it or not, people watching on the internet would go, I don't know how y'all keep the candles straight on the wall. That's, people are looking at that stuff. You wouldn't think, I mean, to me, I'm a guy. It's a candle on the wall. It could be a blank wall and it's not going to bother me. But some woman's looking at that going, well, those candles aren't quite straight. I don't know what's spiritual about that, but I thank God that we come to a place where we have people that care about the details about what goes on in the house of God. It says over there in 1 Corinthians 10, Brother Sam was there this morning, but that God admonished Moses to build the temple the way God told him to build it. That there was a process as to how God wanted that thing handled, and there was an order to how God wanted that thing built, and there was some instructions that went along with it. And I thank God we have a preacher, and we also have a pastor's wife who pay attention to the details that go on in our church services. They pay attention. Brother Sam is meticulous in his details when it comes to things that go along with the youth, and when it comes to things going on with the music. And I thank God that we have a congregation that cares about decent and order things, and that they care about having a moral excellence that separates us from the rest of the world. I thank God we come to a church that when I walk in the doors, I know I'm not in the world anymore. That I know if I start thinking the wrong thing in here, I need to cut it off immediately and not let it wander. That I'm in a place where you grab that thing in your conscience and you grab it and you set it aside and you ask God to forgive you and you get back on the right kind of thoughts. But it's because we're in a clean place. We're in a place that has goodness in it. We're in a place where you come here during that Jubilee and you just get to experience the goodness of God sitting here listening to good old-fashioned preaching. There's a blessing in having a place like that. There's not places like this everywhere. That's why those folks that come here from all over the country, they come here and get to sit back and see what church should be like. They come here and talk about what a blessing it is to come here. I don't know of any preacher that left here and complained about something that went on while he was here. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of churches, and there's been plenty of people complain in other places. And I'm not saying none of you complain, and I'm not saying nobody ever complains, but if you do, you don't ever make it real public. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we have some people that care about how this place is taken care of. And I thank God for how this carpet on this place is 20 years old. I got rental houses that the carpet 6 months old and it don't look this good. I thank God some people care about the house of God and take care of it. The other thing I want to say about it is the third thing is that part of that goodness is being kind. Romans 2:4 already said that. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. The kindness and goodness is that you demonstrate to show somebody grace and mercy is a blessing in this place. There's been a lot of folks that have left out of here, and they've been able to come back because of your kindness. That can't be said for a lot of places. A lot of people leave a church, they fall into sin, they begin to sin, they backslide, whatever you want to call it, and they're too afraid to come back because of what the people are going to say about them when they come back. And I thank God that we go to a place that gives folks a second chance, that gives folks the opportunity to come in and sit down and worship and doesn't require them to fill some seat, doesn't require them to fill some void, doesn't require them to make a public statement or some show of, hey, I'm back in fellowship. I can't tell you how many times it was a blessing for me to be able to slip in on the back row and catch a service and just enjoy hearing some preaching when I wasn't necessarily in the exact perfect will of God for my life. And I thank God for that, this place, the kindness of you folks that you show to the folks that come in here, the kindness especially of some of you older folks and the way you handle visitors when they come into our church. When you come to our church as a visitor, you're greeted. I mean, you have people all, I don't know that of a visitor that comes in here that doesn't get spoken to, that doesn't want to be spoken to. Now, I mean, if you want to come in and not be spoken to, slide under the balcony and not be seen, it can happen if that's what you desire. But I thank God that's not our church. That's not the mentality of our church, that we care about people and we want people to get what we've gotten. I mean, I thank God that our church has a vision to build another building so that we can let more people be a part of what we're being a part of. Do I think our pastor can preach to 600 people? Absolutely. I think he can preach to 1,000 people and be perfectly fit that pulpit, no problem. And I think the Lord may have been just waiting on some of us to get caught up to where our preacher is so that God can use him the way he wants us to be used. And I thank God he's doing that now. But Paul says then that you're full of goodness. He also says you're filled with all knowledge. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. You know, having come from a Southern Baptist church my entire, that's 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, having come from a Southern Baptist church and been raised in church my entire life and thinking I knew the Bible, I took for granted how much I didn't know. I took for granted that I knew more than what I really did. And to come to a church where my Bible knowledge is ever increasing is an encouragement, to where we have a preacher that preaches and I don't feel like he's dealt with everything in the Christian life yet. That there's still aspects that God's going to use him to show me and show you in our Christian lives that we need to grow in and change. That there's more to the Christian life than just being saved and coming to church. I mean, for so many years of my life, that was my Christian life, was you're saved, now you go to church. Heaven's going to be a big church service and that's all you're going to do is church for the rest of eternity. Just come to church. Well, no, there's a little bit more to it than just coming to church. There's a little bit more to it than just being saved. I never knew about fellowship when with Jesus Christ. I mean, I knew I was supposed to walk with him. I knew I was supposed to do right. I knew I was supposed to be a good person. I knew I wasn't supposed to sin, but I didn't know there was more to it. I didn't know anything about the judgment seat of Christ. I didn't have any idea that there was another judgment coming for Christians. I mean, I had been told there, you know, well, we're saved. Our sins were judged at Calvary. There's no other judgment to face. And you know what? We're just going to stand up there while God judges everybody else and we'll see how they shake out when they get up there. Well, man, there's a whole lot more to it than that. That judgment seat of Christ is a scary thing when you begin to look at it. And it scares me for the folks that don't know about it. I mean, I look at our church. We don't see a ton of folks saved here like other places may, but our church sees a bunch of seasoned Christians get some information they never had before. Some folks that have been faithful to the Lord for 40 and 50 years learning things about the Bible they never learned before. what a blessing that is, that our church is filled with some knowledge and we have a pastor that gives us some knowledge and gives us some wisdom. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, the Lord's talking to Solomon and he says this, and asks Solomon, hey, what do you want? And in 2 Chronicles verses 10 to 12, Solomon says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but thou hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. Solomon recognized to have some knowledge and wisdom is an important thing. And I thank God we come to a church where we have some folks that know the Bible. We have some folks that can teach us the Bible. I mean, I'll never forget as a young Christian first coming here and, you know, sitting in the old building and even sitting in here until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning doing question and answer with the preacher just to learn some Bible. I mean, I don't know how many times he covered dispensations before I finally got dispensations, but it was quite a few Friday night Bible studies of him covering dispensations, and it finally was like, oh, I got it now. But it takes some time. And I think God, we come to a place that has some knowledge. And I realize that doesn't mean when he says over there you have all knowledge, it doesn't mean you have everything down, but you have access to it. You have access to wisdom and knowledge that you didn't have access to before you came here. Amen. I mean, you may have been in another great church. I mean, you know, now if you sat underneath Dr. Ruckman for any period of time, you probably, you know, you're on par. You're not stepped down. I'm not about to say a step down. This is the greatest church in all the world. But you have an opportunity to learn something here. In Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says that God gave the Hebrew children all knowledge. He gave them the opportunity to learn. Colossians 2:3, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. As you get to know Jesus Christ, you grow in knowledge and grace. That's what 2 Peter 3 says. We're supposed to grow in knowledge and grace, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something to be said for knowing more about your Savior. There's something to be said for knowing Him more. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him more. And it's a blessing that we come to a place that encourages both of those things. Encourages not only to know more, but to know Him more. And I thank God for that, that's part of our church, and that's a foundation of our church. It's, you know, it's a blessing to see folks that want to study the Bible, want to study God's Word, and want to know more about their Savior. And they're not satisfied with just being saved. They're not satisfied with just coming to church and just sitting in church and singing songs and going through the motions. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. But what we do in here, do you carry that out in your own life? Do you at home spend time getting to know Jesus Christ more than what you do, or do you only do it when you're here? Do you pursue knowledge on your own, or do you wait for the preacher to give it to you? I mean, it's really easy to come here because, I mean, coming here is like, I hate even say going to Golden Corral. That's horrible. Coming here is like, I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. When I was a teenager, my parents took me to an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet down in the Keys. They had lobster. They had crab legs. They had shrimp. They had scallops. And it was all-you-can-eat. I ate and ate and ate. If I remember right, I ate either 15 or 16 lobster tails at that thing and about 8 or 9 bundles of crab legs. That's what coming to church is here like. It's like going to an all-you-can-eat quality seafood buffet and getting to eat all the shellfish you want to eat and not feeling bad about it when it's over with. Amen? I mean, it's like going to a good old-fashioned crawfish boil, low country boil where they just pour it out over the table and you just eat until your heart's content. We should do that sometime. We should have us a big down-home southern country boil some point in time. It'd be a blessing. I'd love to see some of you folks suck the heads on some crawfish. I'd like to see Brother Sam do it, but I don't think it'll happen. But that's what coming here is like. And sometimes you come here and you take for granted that you're being fed so well that you forget to feed yourself when you're at home. You go, you know what, I'll just eat on Sunday and then I'll eat again on Wednesday. And it happens to all of us. It happens that you just take for granted, you know what, Lord, I'm busy. Lord, we've had Thanksgiving weekend. I've been off for about 4 or 5 days. Monday's going to be insane, you know, and you just want to sleep in just a little bit more tomorrow because you know that it's going to be a long day and you're going to struggle. And you're like, man, church was good yesterday. Brother Sam blew it out. Brother Josh tore it up. And yeah, I got fed. I'll be good today. No, you won't be good today. I've never had a day where I forgot to read my Bible that things went the way I wanted them to go. And not that even the days I read my Bible, they went the way I wanted to go, but at least I knew how to handle it and I could get through it a little bit easier. And it's a blessing and it's a responsibility of ours to not just come here and gain access to knowledge and wisdom without taking part in of yourselves and feeding yourselves at some point in time. That you have a responsibility to know Jesus Christ more than just what the preacher knows him. If preacher's relying on us to grow as individuals, it means you have to go home and feed yourself sometime. You got to listen to some preaching on your own. You got to listen to some teaching on your own. You got to read some, besides reading the Bible, read some commentaries, read some stuff from Dr. Ruckman and learn more than what you already know. Because what's amazing is the more you know when preacher gets in here and preaches, preacher preaches to the people that are way up here and to the people that are way down here. And the people that are way down here have no idea that he's preaching to the people way up here. Because he's throwing out little things from time to time. And unless you're up here, you have no idea what he's talking about. And it just goes right over your head. But he's feeding you way up here and he's feeding you way down here all the way across the board. And it's just a matter of what level you're on as to where you're getting fed. Now, I tend to be somewhere down here, and I'm working on getting up here, but that's how preacher preaches. It's a blessing. But he says you're filled with all knowledge. The last thing he says is you're able to admonish one another. And what I want to say about that is he says you're able to do it. Just because you're able to admonish somebody doesn't mean you need to. As a young Christian, when I first came here, and the Lord was filling me to overflowing, I found it necessary to help other people zealously believe what I had just been taught, and didn't exactly handle it in a gracious manner. It's never good to address folks that you love as though they don't know anything. And learning to teach somebody else the Bible is more than just slamming it down their throat and force feeding it to them. And somebody once said to me years ago that, now I just forgot it. Anyway, if somebody don't ask for help, don't offer them help because they ain't going to listen. That's essentially what they said to me. And too often times we try to help people that don't want help. There's enough people that need help and desire help that you should take time with the ones that want it. And don't waste your time on somebody who ain't interested in getting help. And just because you got wisdom that'll help them, don't waste your time on them if they're not going to listen to you. You know, the Lord brings all of us along at different times and in different manners. And just because you got to a place doesn't mean everybody else around you is going to get to the same place. And you've got to learn to recognize that God's doing something new that he may not be doing in the people around you. And there comes a time in your life where God is going to teach you to walk alone and not walk with the people that are around you. And that's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson to be the only person around that's walking with God in the way that you're walking with God. And it's hard to find yourself in a place where you're the only one doing what you believe God would have you to do, doing it the right way, the right way with the right motive all the time, and the people around you are doing stuff you just see it and it's just clear as day and you don't know why they don't get it. It's like being, for me, I liken it to being in math class. Math just clicked for me for some reason. I mean, you could show me addition on the board. I got it. I didn't need to use my fingers. I don't ever remember as a child using my fingers. The Lord just gave me an ability to see numbers and understand numbers. And I'm watching my kids use their fingers and I'm going, God, why don't they just get it? Why doesn't my son just know that 5 plus 5 is 10? Why does he need to go 5 and 5 and then count all 10 fingers? Well, he don't see it the way I see it. And you know what I'm having to learn? To slow down and let him get 5 plus 5 is 10 in his way and not get it in the way Daddy got it. And that's how it is in the Christian life, is not all of us get it the same way. Not all of us get it in the same exact manner as everybody else does. But I'm thankful we come to a church where we've got some folks that can help out and can give it to us in a way that we can get it. I'm thankful that Preacher is so broad in his spectrum of how he serves us that he feeds all of us in a manner we can all get it. And I thank God that we have a brother Sam and a brother Josh who give it to us in a different way, and we get to see it in a different way. And it's a blessing that we get those opportunities and we're able to hear from some folks. I'm thankful to God for the teachers in Sunday school who teach my kids and get things across to my kids that I can't seem to get across to them at home. And it's not that I'm not trying to teach them the book, but my patience for a five-year-old is not their patience for a five-year-old. God didn't call me to deal with five-year-olds. I have a sister that God called to be an elementary school teacher, and she has a gift for handling little kids. I would go bat crazy if you put me in a room with a bunch of five-year-olds for a very long period of time. I mean, they're just off the wall and getting them to... It's like herding cats. You ever herded cats? It don't work real well. But some people, God's given a gift, and they have an ability to connect with those kids that other folks don't have an ability to connect with. And a lot of times, people can connect with your kids when you can't connect with them. And I thank God we have some folks in this church that are able to teach our kids some things that sometimes we as parents fail to teach. Not out of neglect, but just out of an inability to reach your own kid. And it's a difficult thing. And I thank God we come to a place where that cares about not just our kids, but our teenagers. I mean, Brother Sam and Brother Josh have a way to get stuff across to teens that, you know, we never had. I mean, that I never had. I mean, I'm a horrible youth person. I mean, that's just not my thing. But God's given him a gift, and it's an amazing gift to see. And I thank God for that. I thank God for what he's doing. I thank God for all the different gifts he's put in this church, and all the different things. I thank God. The other thing, Paul says that we should admonish one another in song. That he says over there in Colossians 1:19 that you should sing him a song. What you folks that get up here and sing, your songs connect with us. When you get up here and sing to Jesus Christ, your song connects with our hearts, and it admonishes us. It causes us to reflect on the goodness of God. It causes us to reflect on maybe some areas in our life where we haven't been thankful. It causes us to reflect on some areas in our life where we might be struggling. We need to go to God for help. I mean, I can't tell you how many times somebody's been up here singing a song, and the Lord's led me to the altar to deal with me about something because of somebody singing a song. Everything that folks do in this church is to help all of us get closer to Jesus Christ. And I thank God we come to a church where we're able to admonish one another. In 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul talks about Moses over there, he admonishes the church at Corinth to good works. In Ecclesiastes 4, he says that how you receive admonishment shows your humility and your maturity. How we receive it shows where you're at as a Christian. It's a good picture. You get up here and the preacher preaches and you get mad and go, I can't believe he said that. Maybe the preacher's right and you got an issue. But if the preacher hits you and you go, you know what, Lord, you're right, and you come to the altar and you talk to the Lord about it and you get it right, it shows that you're humble enough for God to be able to teach you. We should never be in our Christian lives at a place where we're past being able to be taught. He says that Moses had a meek and quiet spirit. Moses wasn't a silent guy. That meekness meant he was able to be taught. At 100-something years of age, he's still learning from the Lord. I mean, what did Moses need to learn? Apparently, he had some lessons, but he was still able to be taught at 100. I mean, Dr. Ruckman says, I mean, I love what he said about studying the Bible. He said he never considered himself a scholar of the Bible. He said, I'm a student. That guy knew the Bible better than anybody, and he never considered himself a scholar. He said, there's always more to learn. And I thank God we have that mentality in this church. I thank God that we have that mentality that we haven't arrived, that we're not at the end of the road yet. We're not at the end of the road until we get to heaven. But where we are as a church, where we are as a church family, that's what matters. And I thank God for this place. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for the role that each of you play in the life of our church. Even if you just come and sit and don't think you do anything, you do more than you know. Just being here tonight encourages a guy like me to go, hey, these people don't just hate my guts. It's a blessing. It encourages a young preacher to keep going and keep trying. It's an encouragement to sit here and be able to listen. And I thank God for how good you people have been to me and my family. I thank God for your desire to learn and to seek after the book. And I thank God that you're able to that you're able to be taught and to teach. We all have lessons we can learn from one another. We all have things that we can teach each other and help each other with. Ask Brother Brad. He and I have talked a lot about construction and finance lately. He's taught me things and I've taught him some things. And it's a blessing to see the way the Lord's able to bring us together and use us to help each other out, to teach us things we didn't know before. And in saying that as a group, I hope you'll look at your own life. I hope that you'll look at your life as a Christian and see where you are with God's goodness. Do you take God's goodness in your life for granted? Do you take the fact that God's been better to any of us than we deserve? I mean, do you realize that us sitting here, we're so far and above people throughout the rest of this world and what they have and what they don't have, that we take that for granted? I mean, Brother Sam said to me this morning, Brother Woodard, can you turn the air on? We've been in some churches where they don't have the air to turn on. That, man, that's the goodness of God. I thank God for air conditioning. I don't know that I'd have the character to come to a church and sit for an hour and a half to listen to preaching if it wasn't air conditioning. I mean, I'd like to say that I'd be there and sweat it out with the best of them, but bless God, I don't want to put on a nice suit and sweat in my nice suit. You know, I enjoy having air conditioning. I remember the days of sitting in that old building when it would go out or whatever, and you'd open the doors and open the windows and pray for a breeze. You know, we had a tent meeting a couple of times, and we're like, hey, let's move this thing back inside, you know. Put sawdust on the floor inside, and let's vacuum it out when we're done. Let's give us some air conditioning. But I thank God for that. God's been good to us. God's been good to our church. God's taken care of our church. God has brought our church along at the pace it needed to be brought along at. God has taken care of our needs along and along and along, and we should not take that for granted. We should not forget how good God's been to us. And God's not just been good to our church, He's been good to our individual lives. We've all been through difficulties. We've all had hard times. And God's used those times in our life to get us to where we are right now. You wouldn't be where you are right now if it wasn't for God's goodness. Amen. Whether you're in fellowship or out of fellowship, you wouldn't be where you are if it hadn't been for God's goodness. Amen. That's the bottom line. Don't take that for granted in your life, and don't stop learning the Bible. Don't stop giving. Don't think you've arrived just because you've read through your Bible one time. Don't go, well, I finished it this year. I'm good. I don't need to read it again. Yeah, right. I can't tell you how many times I've read passages in that book, 10, 15, 20 times, and something different comes out every time I look at it, and I'm like, where was that the first time I read it? Well, you weren't ready for that. Amen. And I thank God He knows what to give us when we need it so that we're not blowing our brains out. You know, I mean, if you understood everything that there was understood the first time you read that book, you'd go crazy. I mean, you would lose your mind. And the first time I read Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, if I knew there was a gap, I'd have been like, I just put the book down and go, okay, I'm done. I'm just stopping right there. If all of that is in the first two verses of the book, I can't handle everything else that's in that book. I thank God that I can read In the Beginning God. You know, that's good enough for me. When I was a new Christian, I didn't need all of that stuff. But I thank God that He brought me along and he gave it to me because it was a desire to get it. And you've learned what you've learned because it was a desire to learn. Don't stop learning. Don't stop pursuing after God. Don't just stop pursuing the knowledge of God, but don't stop pursuing your relationship with God. Know Him more each and every day. Spend time with Him each and every day. There's nothing like getting up in the morning and having fellowship with Him. I talked about it the whatever Sunday morning that was, but that early morning hour in the quietness of your house, there's something about the sweetness of that time that nothing else in the rest of the day can replace. The opportunity to just fellowship with the Lord in the quietness of the morning before the chaos of the day starts. There's something sweet about that. There's something sweet about spending time with Him. There's something sweet about spending time with Him before you go to bed at night. Some of the most peaceful sleep I've ever had is when I've prayed before I went to sleep. So why don't we pray every time before we go to sleep? I mean, how many of you have ever prayed at nighttime and you fell asleep praying? All the time. I'll pray on the floor and then get in the bed and keep praying because I know I'm going to fall asleep about 30 seconds into it. You just can't help it. There's something peaceful about talking to the Lord. There's a peace that passes all understanding, he says. And then the last thing is, don't stop encouraging each other in the Lord. It's a blessing to me that we go to a place where folks encourage each other to walk with the God. That folks can be out on the edge and it's okay to say, you know what, I'm struggling this week. And it's okay for a brother to go, hey, I've been there, just keep fighting. Just stay after it. It's a blessing we go to a place where we encourage one another, where you get a text message that goes, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, just thinking about you this week. Man, that means the world to folks. Have you ever been in the middle of just a chaotic mess and you get a text message from somebody, hey, just thinking about you? Man, it brightens your day. It's like, well, praise God, I'm not in this by myself. I mean, because you get out there in the world and you're doing your job and nobody else is around you and, you know, it's all lost people around you and you're like, what in the world am I doing? I wish I could do more. I wish I was doing something more for Jesus Christ. I wish I wasn't down in the bottom of this, whatever you're in the bottom of at that point in time. And somebody sends you a text message. It's like, man, thank God for that. It just kind of lifts your spirits. You're in a difficult situation. I thank God that we go to a place where folks encourage each other. And don't stop encouraging each other. We're at a time of year where folks reflect on some of the worst times in their lives. I'd have to go back and look it up, but I believe I'd read that there's more suicides in the holiday season than there is any other time of the year. Because people are lonely this time of year more than they're lonely in their time of year. Don't take for granted if you've got a good family. Praise God you got a good family. I told my family I thank God for the heritage that I have. I won't back up from that. I thank God for that. But just because you have it doesn't mean everybody else has it. And don't take for granted what God's done for you. And don't take for granted there's some folks that need some encouragement this time of year. And there's folks that care. You know, we're taking up something for some people we'll never meet this side of glory. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement that is. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep staying faithful to the Lord. And keep coming to church. And I hope that'll help you this week. I hope that'll encourage you. And I hope you'll come back Wednesday. Not sure if preacher's going to be back yet or not. But there will be question and answer Wednesday and Bible study Wednesday night. Let's close with a word of prayer.